Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everyone in between or irrespective of that binary, welcome back to Poplar, Kentucky, a small town in the eastern part of the state where a giant monster is running rampant, a teenage boy has been knocked unconscious, and the vast majority of the town has no idea what's going on. This story isn't about the average citizens of the town, though. This story is about Fox Scuggs and Stevie Davis, who have found themselves arriving at the mines, Corbin Breyer in tow, and found their friends have not arrived yet. Stevie, Fox, what's going on with the two of you as you pull up and realize that you were the first ones to arrive at the mines, even though you should have been there later than the car with Eddie, Taylor, and Pat?
I don't, there's no way that they didn't get here before us.
Where the fuck are your little friends?
Shut up, Breyer.
Yeah, big talk for a little girl. Where the fuck are they at?
If I knew where they were at, then we would find them, but I don't know where they could possibly be.
Know where they're at? An island called Nunya. None your damn business. Shut the fuck up. I'm gonna close the door, the car door on him.
Okay, so is Stevie getting out of the car then?
Yeah.
What about Fox?
Fox is going to look back at Corbin and say, well, if they're not here and that thing is following us, then it might be on us before they get here. You've been dealing with those things for longer than any of us. Do you have any weapons that we can use against it?
Not unless you got some holy water stashed away in here.
No, I think that was in Taylor's car.
Then it sounds like we're fucked. And as he says that, this story is also about Eddie Breyer, who finds himself waking up, not for the first time this week, staring at a ceiling that he doesn't immediately recognize. Eddie, as you feel the bed you're lying on bounce and bump underneath you, I need you to make me a brains roll with a difficulty of 5.
That's a 7.
Okay, and since this is our first recording of the month, each of you has a bonus adversity token from our lovely patrons. Thank you, patrons. Go ahead and add those in now. And Eddie, you realize that you are not, in fact, on a bed, but in the back seat of a car that is bumping along a road that is not very well paved. Is the best way for me to describe it.
Fun. How's Eddie feeling right now? Because I believe last episode he kind of rolled out of a speeding car.
Yeah, he's in some pain and like just all over. And you have a very splitting headache because, you know, you were knocked unconscious from your head slamming into the road.
Fair enough. Eddie, I imagine, kind of pulls himself up painfully, and he kind of looks to see. I imagine he's in Taylor's car?
You are, in fact, in Taylor's car, and Taylor is driving. Do you say anything to let him know that you're awake?
Taylor? What?
Oh, shit! Oh, fuck, Eddie. Thank God you're awake. I was worried about you.
What happened? Oh, God, my head.
I was driving, and Pat wanted out of the car, and then you tried to stop her, and then she took the two of you out of the car, and when I stopped and went to, like, check on you all, you were unconscious, and now we're going to the hospital.
Wait, what?
Which part of that was confusing?
The part where either one of us are alive. That, I guess...
Yeah, I don't know. She just got up and, like, ran off into the woods.
Why? Oh, God damn it. We need to go find her.
I can't... You need to go to the hospital. You were knocked unconscious. That's probably not good for your brain.
A lot of things that happened that aren't good for my brain recently, but... How close are we to the mine?
We've been driving for, like... Andy looks at the clock and says, a little less than 10 minutes.
I guess...
I mean, we can get there pretty quick, but you need to go get checked out.
Mine first, and then hospital, I guess. I need to tell him about Pat.
Oh, okay. And as Taylor makes a sharp right turn, the story is lastly about Pat Benson, who has just been approached by Bud in the woods. Bud has in turn spoken in a complete sentence for the first time, telling Pat that drinking this Gatorade bottle full of holy water would not be a good idea. Pat, how are you reacting to that?
Pat's just going to, like, wheel around and sort of hold the Gatorade, quote-unquote, aimed at Bud. Alright, I'm about real fucking tired of people coming out of nowhere and telling me what the fuck to do!
You can understand me now?
Talking in actual sentences now, so yeah.
I mean, I was before... Okay, that's not important. What's important is you need to put that down. If there's something inside of you and you drink it, it's gonna turn out bad.
If the thing that's inside of me stays inside of me. So if this is the way that's gonna get it out...
There are ways to get it out without tearing yourself apart from the inside.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a reason they use that stuff against us. Because it hurts like a bitch.
Yeah, I kinda noticed that. So what, you're one of these things now too? Is this another fucking specter? Another goddamn person who's coming in and... are you even Bud? Or whatever the fuck Bud was? Because... Last I saw Bud, he turned into a beam of fucking light.
Yeah, Bud's, what you all called me. Zelivar would be the name I'm used to, but again, not really important right now. Look, I'm just trying to help. I'm who I've been this whole time, ever since I met Fox. Well, I mean, I was me before I met him, but you know what I mean.
Okay.
I'm not any kind of specter or ghost or anything of the past. I'm just me, and, well, I guess you're one of us now, too. At least for the time being.
And what's us?
You all call us demons. We're creatures from the other side. Much like how you all inhabit Earth, we inhabit a different kind of Earth, like a sort of mirror realm to where you live.
Okay, great. What are y'all doing here? Because last I checked, as much as Fox likes talking about mirror, didn't seem like it was of great, it's great for y'all to be here.
There are those of us that don't like that your people have tapped into the realm that we come from. And they came through to get revenge on the people that are responsible for it. Specifically here, the Briars. I came through to try to stop them, but I'm not as strong as some of those that have come through. Couple that with the fact that nobody here could understand me, and it made things pretty difficult.
So, what's your plan for stopping them then? Because if you can fucking talk now, I'd love to hear what's supposed to be going on, because everyone keeps asking me what the fuck to do. And seems like you're pretty fucking knowledgeable about it.
Well, I'd like to think I've picked up some knowledge in my years, but again, what you saw me transform into.
To play coy, Zoe.
I'm trying to get to the answers. The thing you saw me transform into. It takes a lot of energy. It hurts, but it can hold those things back. It can fight them. The overlords. It can hold them back. It can damage them. And I could attempt to drive them back into the mines through the portal which we came through. If we manage to do that, then hopefully the portal can be sealed off.
And how will we do that?
Well, since you don't seem to like the long-winded explanations, let's just call it magic.
Great. Now, I don't really care about the logistics behind it, but saying magic doesn't really tell me if there's something we need to do. Are you just going to chase them and close the door behind you?
I can hold them through the portal, and since you have one of us inside of you, I will need you to close the door behind us.
And I think Pat just, like, paces back and forth for a moment, just like, fuck, fuck, fuck! Right.
As Pat is having that crisis, I want to cut back over to Fox and Stevie. What's going on as Corbin Breyer says that the group of you are fucked without any holy water?
I don't accept that. There has to be something we can do.
Well, I sure as fuck haven't found it. So, if you'd like to get experimental, by all means, be my guest.
You don't have a secret stash of holy water here, other than the flask that we stole?
It's not exactly something you can go to Costco and buy in bulk.
No, but there's... What is the process of making water holy anyway? It's just having it blessed, right?
Do I look like a fucking priest, Scuggs? I don't know how you make it. I just know where to go to get it. And where we'd go to get it, right now, is straight back through that big-ass motherfucker that's coming at us to a church that's closed and probably empty right now.
Yeah, you're probably right.
What is Stevie doing on the outside of this car?
She gears up to kick the car in just frustration and then remembers that it's... Well, whose car is it? It's Fox's car, right?
No, it's Corbin's car. You can kick it all you want.
Yeah, I kick it. I kick. First thing I do is kick the car in utter frustration, and then I'm like looking back towards the woods and trying to kind of like, can I see the demon, the big demon guy? Is he still there? Or?
You cannot see him at the moment. You can hear him, like you can hear him off in the distance, and you can also hear the sound of a motor getting closer to you. At the same time.
Does the sound of this dude in the distance sound like it's also trying to get closer to us? Like you might be following this motor?
The motor is coming from a different direction. The demon is coming just following you from before.
So the motor's coming from a different direction, so it's not coming from the direction that we knew our friends were in. But they wouldn't have been coming the same direction as us because we took a quote-unquote shortcut.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to look off towards where the motor is.
As you look in that direction, you see Taylor Russell's car speeding along towards you and the mines.
Oh, good. I'm going to knock on the window, like the driver's side window, and like point.
Oh, great. Well, I guess they're here, so hopefully we don't have to worry too much about it. Good talk, Corbin. And Fox is going to get out of the car.
As you do, Taylor's car pulls up. And what's Eddie Breyer doing as the car pulls to a stop near your father's car?
I think Eddie's going to try to pull himself out of the car if he can. And when he kind of closes the door behind him, he kind of just leans heavily against the car. I imagine looking like, lack of a better term, hammered dog shit. after being, you know, rolled across the highway a few times.
Well, shit, Eddie.
Wow, are you okay, Briar?
Not even remotely.
What happened?
Tried to keep Pat from throwing herself out of the car, and she took me with her.
So, wait, so Pat's not with you?
No, she... When I fell unconscious, she ran off into the forest.
Great.
Damn it.
I hope you all have a better plan at this point, because I'm not really feeling up to much more of this.
As Eddie's saying that, let's cut back to Pat in the woods with Bud, or as he's now known, Zelivar. Pat, how are you handling this news?
I think, you know, after she does a quick pace and curse session, she's just... Alright, fuck it. Might as well do this, because nothing else in this fucking town makes sense anymore. You're gonna I guess we're headed back to the fucking mines. You're gonna explain to me while we go how exactly I'm gonna magic up this door, this fucking portal closed? And just start, like, heading in the direction of the mines.
I think we get, like, if we're framing this as a TV show, we get a, like, close-up of Bud grabbing Pat by the wrist and, like, pulling her along, like, trying to get her to run faster. The two of you, assuming Pat goes along with that, start, like, speeding through the forest towards the mines. And Bud is going to start, like, explaining what he needs from you. And he, like, as he's running, tells you, like, the sort of, like, hand motions you need to make, the sort of, like, what you need to be focusing on. He basically tells you that you need to focus all of your mind, energy, and thoughts on sealing the portal. The way he explains it to you is like putting pressure on a wound. Once he gets this creature, or the creatures, back through the portal, he will act basically as a band-aid over the portal. And your job is to basically focus your mind and attention into pushing the two sides of it, like, on your physical reality side together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, think real hard about closing it. Gotcha.
Yeah, basically think real hard about it and, like, mime closing it. And he tells you that that should work, assuming that you are strong enough. Do you have any questions?
I think Pat's response is exactly the same. Great, so do some fucking hand motions and think real hard about closing it. Alright, great. If that's gonna fucking work, then great.
With any luck, it'll work, yes.
Pat doesn't have, like, more to say to that, just...
Yeah, I was going to say, if Pat doesn't have anything else to say, let's cut back to Stevie, Eddie, Fox, and Taylor. Did you all have anything else you wanted to say, or, like, any plans you wanted to make? What's going on with this group as this monster stomps closer and closer to your current location?
So I've got an idea, and you tell me if this is too out there and I can't do it. But Fox is going to look down and reach underneath of his The Truth Is Out There t-shirt and pull out a crucifix that his grandmother gave him when he got baptized when he was a baby. And he's going to look around. Or I'm assuming there's like a water water pump of some kind in this place that is used to assist with the mining process.
Tell you what, go ahead and make me a brains roll with a difficulty of 4.
Okay, difficulty of 4. That's a 20 that explodes. So 38.
Okay, yeah, there's apparently a crucifix, and why don't you tell me what kind of water device you want there to be here?
So yeah, he's gonna run over, and there's like a, it's almost like a high pressure water cannon that they use to like carve out sections of the rock in order to get to the ores that they want to get to. And he's gonna run over and check and make sure the tank is full of water. And if it is, he's gonna drop the crucifix in the tank and start saying the Lord's Prayer, because it's the only thing that he knows. It's in even remotely religious. He's a lapsed, you know, Christian himself, so he doesn't really practice. But he's gonna just start saying the Lord's Prayer with the crucifix in the water and hope that he can turn that water into holy water real quick.
Okay. What's going on with Eddie and Stevie as they see Fox just run off like this? The back door to Corbin Breyer's car opens, and he starts to step out and says, "What the fuck is going on? We need to get into the mines. That thing's almost on us."
Eddie, please tell me I can sacrifice your dad to the demons.
No, I don't think that'd be enough anyways. I guess we're making holy water, Dad. Good job for letting the demons out of the fucking mine.
Oh yeah, it was just my fucking plan all along was to let him run rampant all over the fucking town.
I hate your dad so much.
The feeling's mutual. And as he says that, Fox, do you have Corbin's keys on you, or did you leave them in the ignition?
No, I definitely took them with me. I was not going to risk him taking off on us.
Okay. In that case, I have to make a roll for Taylor. And Eddie, you see as your dad opens the car door for Taylor's car and pulls him out of it and starts to get inside. What do you want to do? To be clear, he like grabs Taylor with like two fistfuls of t-shirt and just like throws him down to the ground before getting in and attempting to commandeer his car.
Eddie's still right by the car door, so he's going to like just open the door quickly, kind of jump in, and he's going to try to basically from the backseat grab his dad around the throat and restrain him.
Okay. Roll me a fight check, difficulty of 5.
I'm gonna use 2 adversity token. This daddy's not getting away, so that's gonna add up to a 5.
Okay, so tell me, what exactly are you hoping to accomplish here? Like, are you trying to stop him from going, or are you like trying to like choke him out as he's going? What's going on here?
I figure, you know, it's pretty hard to drive when someone has, like, their arms around your throat and are, like, pulling back. It's a little bit of a mix of both, because I can't imagine he's going to be able to comfortably or, you know, navigate with me, like, literally choking him. So,
Stevie, you see as Corbin slams his foot down on the accelerator, Taylor's car takes off in, like, a completely random and uncontrolled direction. What do you want to do?
Jesus of Christ. Trying to think what like my options are, because if the car was still next to me, I would try to hop in and do something, but it's taking off.
I mean, you can try to hop in before it takes off if you'd like to.
I mean, Eddie left his door side open too, so that's
an opportunity. I'm gonna try to jump in the car and get into the front seat and get my foot or hand onto the brake.
Okay.
Just pull up the emergency brake.
Or that. That's actually a better idea. That seems like it's probably easier. And it's probably in the middle, too, because it's like a older car.
Yeah, that's going to be a much lower difficulty. Make me a flight roll, difficulty of 4.
There we go. And I got a 5.
Okay. So, yeah, you launch yourself into the car, pull up on this emergency brake, and the three of you slam forward with the momentum of this car that had suddenly accelerated and just as quickly been decelerated. So yeah, the three of you all feel that momentum and G-force slam you forward in the car. As we cut back over to Fox, who has hold of this water cutter. Yeah, Fox has this water cutter that is hopefully full of holy water that is presumably going to be used on this beast that is closing in on you fast. What do you want to do, Fox?
So everyone else is still over by the cars, right? Like they're pretty much in the line of fire from the monster before it would even get close to me, I'm assuming.
Not really, because Eddie's dad did slam on the gas pedal like as Stevie was jumping in. So they moved at least a good couple of feet out of the way.
All right. So Fox is gonna start it up. He's gonna start up the motor. Hope that it's in good working condition, and hope that it can hold off this monster.
Okay, you're just gonna go full throttle on it when it gets close to you. Okay. Let's see. Go ahead and make me a fight roll with a difficulty of, let's call it a 9.
Yeah, I'm just going to roll with it and take the adversity.
Okay, you got a 4 there, so it's not quite a critical failure. I'm not entirely familiar with a water cutter. What does it look like as you're, like, spraying this thing or attempting to?
It's basically just a high... It's basically just a high-pressure stream of water that's powerful enough that it can cut through rocks. So I'm not entirely familiar with what they look like per se, but I imagine it's probably like a barrel that's attached, like it's probably like attached to a seat, and that's what you fire, that's what you use to control it. It would be too strong for someone to actually hold the gun like a pressure washer and like wield it that way. Basically he's just seated in the little, I'm going to call it, I don't know what else to call it other than the gunner position. And he is just firing the stream of water at it.
Okay. Yeah, gunner position feels pretty accurate. As you were firing water off at this thing, I want to cut back to Pat as you're running through the woods and towards the mines with Bud. You see this large demon creature that you saw down in the mines. You see as a jet of water shoots through it from what you can't quite see. The sort of smoke of its body dissipates around this water and then reforms as the water goes through it. What are the two of you doing?
How far away? Like, I know this thing is fucking massive, so, like, am I seeing this in the distance? Are we, you know, within 100 yards? What's the scale here?
Yeah, you're about a football field away from it. So, like, if you, like, you're coming up from, like, off to the west, the mines are to the south. If this thing is kind of centralized, you're about a football field away from it. So, like, you could either go towards it or towards the mines. It wouldn't really be blocking you off, but it wouldn't take long to catch up to you.
All right. Pat's going to look towards Bud and, you know, just go. All right, you want to start fucking chasing this thing?
I think he looks at you and says, I can try to weaken it, try to draw it in. Go set up, get prepared. We'll have to do this quick.
Great. Pat continues towards the mines.
Okay. With Bud left behind, Pat, you continue towards the mines. You see Fox with this water cutter and realize pretty easily that is where the jet stream had come from. You also see Corbin Breyer's car sort of off on its own. What's going on inside of that car as you all come to a sudden stop?
Wait, wasn't this, this was Taylor's car, right?
Oh, yes. Sorry, Taylor's car.
So, I don't
know.
Wow. Is he still up? Like, what's Corbin doing, I should ask?
He's, like, you feel as his fingernails, like, dig into your arms or hands, trying to get you to basically let go of his windpipe. Because you're choking him from behind, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just, like, trying to claw your arms off of him.
Stevie, grab the keys!
Oh, Stevie grabs the keys and twists them out of the ignition. That's the word.
Yeah, the idea is I think Eddie's going to try to, like, restrain his dad long enough to so Stevie can get out of the car. Because he doesn't want, her, like, Corbin to, like, try to pull her back in to grab the keys and try this again.
I'm going to hop out of the car and I'm going to duck somewhere and hide the key in one of my shoes.
Okay.
It's going to be uncomfortable, but that's the best idea I have for somewhere that Corbin Breyer would not look for a key.
That makes sense. He, like, continues scratching at Eddie's arms, trying to get him to let go of him. And you hear him just choking out, "Let go, Edward!"
I think once he sees that Stevie's, like, a far enough distance away, he's just going to let go. I don't think he really has the heart to legitimately choke out his dad.
The fuck do you think you're doing?
You're just gonna fucking abandon us? This is all your fault.
Honestly, the worst dad of all time. Stevie says as she is walking back around to check on Eddie.
I don't think now's the time for an awards ceremony. Fox, you see Pat presumably running from where she was at towards you. After your water cutter did next to nothing, what do you want to do?
Well, it was worth a try. Pat, what the fuck are you doing?
Fox, heads up! And I'm just going to hurl the flask to him, or the Gatorade bottle to him.
Is this gonna be enough?
No, but apparently I'm fucking magic now, so there's more to the plan, but I don't have fucking time to explain! And just run past him.
All right.
Okay, Pat, are you heading into the mines then?
Not immediately, because I'm assuming that this thing is, you know, we know this thing is after the Briars. So I run over to where I see them, right?
Yep.
And can I just, like, so Corbin is in the car, right?
Corbin is in the driver's seat. Eddie is in the back seat, and Stevie is standing nearby.
Great. I'm going to take advantage of the fact that like, I've got weird superpowers going on right now, and just fucking heft Corbin out of the car, and just, like, toss him onto the ground towards the mines.
Okay. Make me a fight roll difficulty of 4.
I'll spend it. Demon powers, yo.
So spending 2 to get that up to a 4?
Yep.
Okay, you grab Corbin Breyer and chuck him. He lands several feet away on the dirt and gravel that leads up to the mines. He looks up at you and says, "The hell did you come from?"
Who fucking cares? Any Breyers that don't want to die, into the fucking mines!
Reactions, Eddie?
Eddie's going to get out of the car and follow Pat, because he definitely does not want to die.
Your dad struggles his way up to his feet and is slowly going to be making his way towards the mines. What are Fox and Stevie doing?
Look at Fox like, did I hear correctly what just happened?
If you heard that Pat has magic powers now, then yes. I think we should follow what she says and go to the mines.
Oh, okay. Pat's lost her mind. Got it. And I'm just gonna...
Notably, you did just see Pat toss a grown man several feet through the air.
True, but I wouldn't think of that as magic power so much as I would think of it as the demon possession thing. I guess Those are magic powers. I guess Stevie's just assuming that you think that you now are like a wizard or something.
Mm-hmm. Also, Pat was like not go like running ahead of the Briars, just to note. Like,
okay, so you're urging us on forward.
I'm directing you, and probably like if you know, you're moving under your own power, and like grab Corbin and just fucking like keep pushing him forward.
I like that she's manhandling Corbin though.
Okay, so the group of you, as you make your way towards the mines, you know when you're like, if there's like lightning behind you, the way it lights up, like the light's obviously not in front of you, but it lights up just like everything. That sort of experience happens. There is a bright flash of white light. You hear a roar as those of you that have decided to go into the mines make your way inside. Is there any conversations or anything that wants to happen? What's going on with you all as you're working your way through these mines?
Are you okay? Eddie said that you jumped out of the car.
Again, just got some apparently. Yeah, again, I'm magic or fucking possessed with magic. And by the way, caught up with Bud. Bud's one of these things. His name's Zell. Doesn't really fucking matter. He's gonna chase these things through, and then I'm gonna do some fucking hoodoo and close this magical fucking portal. And I don't really have a better explanation at this point. Fox was just fighting the giant shadow demon and kind of running on just pure adrenaline at this point, so.
Okay, well, you're not dead, so that's the important thing. And, wait, hold on. He's bringing the demons in here where we are.
Well, I don't think he's bringing them anywhere. I just know that they need to go back where they came from, and I figure they're chasing the Briars, so. I mean, honestly, and she's sort of, like, pushing Corbin along again. If you and Fox want to get out of here, that might make the most sense.
We're not going to leave you alone.
Yeah, you're our friend. That would suck.
We made it this far together. We're going to finish this together.
Again, I don't fucking know how this shit's going to work. I'm mainly going off the explanation that I got from a kid that we saw turn into a cat. So, I mean, apparently I have to do this, but if y'all want to come along for the ride, great.
Let's just call it round two then. Come on, let's keep going. I really don't want to die or get thrown out of another car. Just whatever makes this stop.
Taylor with us, or is he still outside?
You haven't seen Taylor since he was thrown out of his car.
Good to note.
Oh, no.
Eddie, I think your dad looks over at you and says, Edward, this is why you don't smoke weed.
Stop for a second. And just, like, still holding on to, like, the back of Corbin's collar. And just, how fucking stupid is your family? You know what? Don't answer that. I'm busy fucking saving your lives.
You really fucking took mine. Eddie kind of mumbles as they move forward.
Don't smoke weed, but do make deals with demons. Okay.
Yeah, one of those has positive outcomes, and the other turns you into this, gesturing backwards towards Pat as she pushes him forward.
Dad, shut up.
The thing she said sound insane after knowing that demons exist. Like, I mean, yeah, the magic sounds a little bit crazy, but, like, I guess it's not any less realistic than the fact that you're literally trying to turn people into demons to control them.
I'm not trying to you kids don't fucking listen to anything.
Pat's gonna throw him on the ground again and just, like, start walking past and just sort of, like, squat in front of him. Now, here's the fucking choice you have here, because we have one Briar who doesn't want to die, and one Briar that seems to be making it his fucking priority to die here. I'm pretty sure they're gonna follow just the one back to where we need them to go, And we could just leave you here as a, you know, little tasty trail for him to follow. So you're gonna keep fucking going on your goddamn tirade here?
Pat, you see as he looks into your eyes, and there's like a moment of him considering everything. And he finally relents and just says, fine, let's go.
I'm sorry, what do you want us to do, Corbin? Do you want us to save your life?
Is this really the time to be...
Oh, I don't fucking care!
Does anybody else react to this?
Pat, let's just keep going. He's going to keep talking shit, and we're never going to get anywhere if we stop here. Let's just keep going.
Good idea. Does anyone have tape? Because we could shut him up real easy.
Let's just fucking go. And he tries to push himself off of the ground. And then...
Eddie will help him.
And then is going to try to push past whoever's in front of him and start leading the way, presumably, towards the portal.
Good job, Pat. Out of character, by the way.
Okay, so were there any other scenes or conversations you all wanted to have as you're getting close to this portal?
Nope. I don't have anything.
Yeah, I can't honestly think of anything at the moment.
I got nothing.
Okay. Pat, you got anything you want to cover before we get to the portal?
No. Just kind of going on at this point. Again, kind of pure adrenaline. Kind of looking worriedly occasionally back at Fox and Stevie for this. But no big scenes. Just that character note that Pat looks worried.
Okay. Do you all feel like Stevie or Fox would notice or say anything about that?
I feel like Stevie's probably casting a lot of, like, glances at Pat because she's got a big gay crush on her and she's worried about her. So, she might notice. I'm happy to roll for it, though.
Fox is mostly looking back, toward the direction where the monster is supposed to be coming from, as they're running.
Okay, yeah, Stevie, make me a brains roll, difficulty of 3.
8.
Okay, yeah, you notice Pat is looking back at the two of you fairly often and looking worried about whatever is going to happen in here.
I take note of that, and then I'm going to look back at Fox to make sure he's okay.
As you all are getting... as you all are getting further and further into the mines, Corbin turns to look at the group of you and says, we're getting close to where the cave-in happened. Be careful, I don't know how stable things are down here or what may happen. As you might guess, there's some weird shit that happens around a portal to whatever you want to call that place. Hell, I don't know. And you all can hear what sounds like the sucking of large quantities of air. You all are basically in a very dark wind tunnel. And ahead of you, you see a glowing red-orange ring in the darkness. Does anybody have any, like, flashlights or sources of light? Did anybody bring one with them?
All Eddie has is a lighter, and I don't think he's about to whip that out in a mine.
I also have a lighter.
I think I have, like, matches. I don't think I have, like, an actual lighter.
Yeah, not something I included in my backpack.
Okay, if anybody would like to make a brains roll, difficulty of 4 to have thought to bring a flashlight, I will allow somebody to make that roll.
I can make it, unless someone else wants to.
Whoever has big brain energy.
my thought is, like, the two people who had the most, like, active part of actually going into the mines on their own cognition were Fox and Stevie, so kind of makes the most sense for them in my mind.
I mean,
I've got
a d20 brains.
Oh yeah, you have more brains than I do. You go for it. I was gonna say, I only have a d10.
I guess I'll spend 2 adversity tokens to make sure we brought a flashlight.
Real smart, cuz.
Okay. You all see this glowing red-orange ring off in the distance. There is a terrible skittering noise coming up on you from behind. Fox, you do have a flashlight, but just barely.
Fox pulls out the mag light and pushes the button, and it doesn't turn on, and he's like, oh, fuck. And he smacks it a couple of times, and eventually the batteries jiggle into place properly, and it turns on.
The group of you, like, you are in this wind tunnel. You are struggling to keep your footing. As you turn the flashlight on, you see there are, like, cragged, like, rocky walls around you. In front of you, this red-orange ring is set into the wall. And through it, there is, like, it's darkness, but you can see. Like, you see, like, colors through it that don't really seem to form any shapes. You see, like, purples and greens and blues and orange and just, like, what you're seeing doesn't make a lot of sense. And the skittering and growling behind you is getting closer and closer. What do you all want to do?
Stevie, I think we should get out of the way and let Pat do her thing.
Yes, out of the way is a good idea. Good thing you said that, because I was about to ask to make a grit roll to not scream.
I'm going to grab my cousin and find a place to hide, potentially.
Okay. Would the two of you like to make me a combined brains roll? And the two of you together just need to be a 6 for me.
That's a 14 for me.
Okay, so the two of you together got an 18 there. You managed to duck off behind one of these stalagmites, sort of grabbing, like, not really grabbing hold of it, but using it to brace yourselves so that you aren't pulled in by the wind coming through this portal. Pat and Eddie, what are the two of you doing?
I think Eddie's looking towards Pat for guidance, because as far as he's concerned, he's either something between bait or pretty much, like, at her mercy, because he has no idea what to do.
I guess, sorry, just to make sure I'm fully aware of the scene, because I lost focus for just a second.
You're good.
But so, portal on one side, skittering behind us, yes?
Yes, and closing in.
Right. Pat's just gonna, like, basically heft up both Eddie and Corbin and be like, alright, you fucking assholes! You found me one last time, but this time I actually have the fucking briars! You wanna come and get them?
Are you turning to face the direction you came from?
Yes.
As you do, you see dark gray smoke start pouring in and start forming into the shape of a large humanoid. Is Pat going to do anything as she sees this?
Take steps backwards closer to the portal.
Okay. Pat, you do notice as you're looking at this thing, it is smaller than it was before. Like, it's the form of a large humanoid, but it's not, like, impossibly large. It's maybe
in the mines.
Yeah, it's, like, maybe 7 feet tall or so. It looks like it's not, like, I'm trying to think of a way to phrase this. It looks like it's been whittled down, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
As you are stepping back towards the portal, what's your goal here? Are you trying to, like, bait it to come towards you?
Yes, exactly that.
Okay, make me a charm roll with a difficulty of 10. Jeez. Also, how's Eddie responding as he's being held as bait by Pat?
I think, like, Eddie, like, nervously kind of takes, like, a few steps back as, like, the smoke demon kind of manifests itself, and is just panicking, like, looking back between, like, Pat and his dad, like, not sure what he should do anymore. He's just scared out of his mind.
Yeah, surprising no one, Pat's charm isn't great, so that's a 3.
You see this thing sort of cock its head to one side, and you hear it speak, and it says, "You hold one of us inside you. Join with us and destroy this world. This world that has wronged you so, and we will remake it in the image of what it needs to be." For the record, none of the rest of you hear this.
Fucking remake the fuck? You couldn't find two fucking people! What the fuck are you? And you're presenting you with your fucking objects of ire, and you're gonna go fucking Darth Vader on me?
I think as you say that, this thing's gonna charge you. Like, great. It just breaks out into a run towards you and the Briars.
Fox is going to leap out from his hiding spot and throw the holy water on it.
Okay. Go ahead and make me a fight roll, difficulty of 4.
That's a 10.
Okay. Pat, as this thing is running at you, you see Fox spring up, throw the holy water on it. It comes into contact with this smoky humanoid that screams out in pain, and like the water like sprayed onto its shoulder. You see that smoke turn into steam from its shoulder and just start like dissipating up into the air. It's still coming at you, but it is quite a bit smaller than it was before.
Right. Well, so this is kind of exactly what I wanted. So as it's charging at us, I'm just going to throw like myself, Eddie, and Corbin just flat onto the ground.
Okay. Make me a flight roll with a difficulty of 4.
That is a 5.
Okay. Pat, you, Eddie, and Corbin hit the ground. You see as this thing like runs through the portal. What are y'all going to do?
Lance around for Bud and start doing the weird fucking ministrations that I was instructed to.
Okay. You do not see Bud around, but as you are attempting to seal off this portal, you hear footsteps running up from behind you. Stevie, Eddie, and Fox see Bud running towards them. His face is scarred up and bruised. This kid looks like he's been through some shit.
Bud! Holy shit!
Holy shit!
Pat's gonna, like, look back towards him and go, "You're gonna do the fucking thing?"
Yeah, I'm working on it. Got a little beat to shit out there. The rest of you hear him say, "What the fuck?" as he runs forward past Pat. And once again, a bright, blinding flash of light causes all of you to, like, blink away, like, close your eyes real tight. When you open them, there is basically, like, a big stretch of light in the form of a human. It looks like if you took a human and just, like, stretched it out. Its arms and legs are spread out in sort of an X pattern as it just like holds onto this wall with each of its four limbs. Pat, if you are going to try to close the portal, I need you to roll me 2d4 with a difficulty of 6.
Way to not let me use something that's on the sheet and have to type this out. It's a 5. Can I spend my last adversity?
You can.
I will spend my last adversity?
Okay. Does anybody else have anything they want to do as Pat is, like, waving her hands through the air? Pat, what does it look like? Like, what's the look on your face? Did you want to add any sort of flavor to this as you are attempting to seal this portal?
I mean, I guess, like, the question is, does that same change start happening while she's doing this? Because I imagine that it does, that, you know, that same weird transformation is happening to her, except instead of it being while she's kicking the shit out of someone, it's while she's doing Doctor Strange-esque hand motions. And is there a verbal component to this?
There is not. It's basically just like your concentration. But yes, the transformation that happened before with you growing hotter and hotter and the horns starting to poke out from you happened just as they did back in the barn. Uh-uh. You feel your head start like splitting with a headache. The air around you is getting warmer and warmer.
Yeah, well, and so if there's not a verbal component, what we hear from Pat is just going, fuck this whole fucking situation, fuck this fucking mind, and fuck this fucking monster!
And as you do that, those of you that are watching, see the rocks in front of you slam together just before this monster makes its way back through. There is, like, small rocks and dust falling from the ceiling, but from what you can tell, the portal has been closed, and Bud is nowhere to be seen.
Shit, Pat does have magic.
How come she gets magic and I get thrown out of a car?
That was fucking awesome!
I'm fucking done with all this Briar bullshit.
Same. Same.
Yeah, same.
You know, whatever you all tell anybody about this.
I kick him in the face.
Yeah, I think he just goes down.
Well, he finally shut up.
Is there anything else that you all want to do in the mines? Or any conversations you all want to have for the rest of this night before we flash forward for your all's end of season epilogue scenes?
It occurs to Stevie that even though this rift is closed, leaving this mine open is like possibly still pretty dangerous because Corbin still exists. So she's going to turn to everybody and go, so how do we get this mine permanently shut down?
I mean, are we talking legally or illegally?
I feel like legally is better, right? Because then your dad can't reopen it. If we illegally shut down the mine, he can probably still open it. But if we have the law deem this mine unsafe for the town...
We have a little bit of evidence against him for doing whatever kind of experiments he was doing instead of actually mining, which is what he's licensed to do. So if we can find anything else that will incriminate him.
Pat, just as a flavor note, just gonna go and take Corbin's wallet, because fuck it, she's earned it. And as she picks it up, well, we have written notes by this man that he was convinced that his mind was full of demons and he killed his safety instructor, his safety inspector over it because he was convinced that he was possessed by a demon. Best I can tell, most court laws aren't going to be very happy about that.
We could pin the sheriff on him too? Or the chief? He's looking apologetically at Eddie.
You can pin whatever you want on him. He has... If he goes to prison, he's earned it.
Doesn't feel right. Sure, he's got blood on his hands, but that blood isn't his to bear.
I think it is, because he's the one that let the demons escape to possess people in the first place.
Fox, I'm gonna point out a couple things to you. Let's go ahead and do a raise of hands on who has any experience on being possessed by these things? No? Just me? Alright. So I'm going to take it as my executive license here to say that wasn't the fucking chief in that moment. That was something using the chief as a weapon. And who gave that weapon to them? This man right here. So we can have a philosophical discussion about whether or not you need to atone past some amount but I'm gonna go ahead and say that every death in this town is the responsibility of this man.
I agree with that.
Fox is gonna look at Eddie because he's grown to sort of respect him through all of this.
He's the start of all of this misery and death. I don't want him to die, but he doesn't deserve to live free.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so let's get him arrested. But then, do you think any of his, like, does he have anyone that's close enough to him that would have been in on this? Because then they could try to continue it. I'm looking at Eddie for that.
I don't know anyone else who would. But, I mean, any info we would have had on that
is... That if your dad's in prison, who do the mines go to?
I don't know. I guess whoever has the most investment in the company. I don't know what happens to his shares or anything like that. I'm not really a part of the business.
I guess it's settled then. We get all the dirt we can together and bring Corbin to the authorities.
As Fox is saying that, I want to fade and get some epilogue scenes in here. Eddie, it's a couple of weeks later. You find yourself sitting in a kitchen with Taylor sitting next to you. It's pretty early in the morning, and his mom is making breakfast. And Eddie, you hear the voice of a newscaster come across the TV. Corbin Breyer has entered an insanity plea in the case of Poplar versus the Breyer Mining Company. This brings to a quick close the cases of multiple incidents of manslaughter that have now been attributed to Corbin Breyer over the past several years. Evidence shows that Breyer believed demons had infested the town and started taking over people's bodies. The Breyer family will be paying out substantial sums to the families of the victims, including, perhaps, the most well-known of these cases, the family of Joseph Benson. And Corbin Breyer will be placed into a mental health facility for an indefinite amount of time. Taylor looks over at Eddie with, like, as he pulls a waffle off of a plate and puts it on his own and starts spreading butter on it. What's the look on Eddie's face like as they report that your dad is going to be away for a long, long time?
I imagine Eddie has kind of a very conflicted look on his face because he knows, like, this is what his dad deserves. But at the same time, it's still his dad, and just a matter of, like, how his whole life's going to change from this point on. It's mostly just kind of, like, sad and just sort of disappointed, I guess.
Are you okay?
This is what he deserves. It's just a lot, you know?
Yeah, I'm sorry that, like, everything that happened.
You don't have anything to be sorry for, Taylor. This is how it should be.
Is there anything else that you would like to have happen or that you would like to say in your epilogue scene?
Have we determined, like, how much time has passed?
You know what? Let's set it. It's like Christmas break, because the original story was happening around Halloween. Let's just jump forward to Christmas break. Does that work for everybody?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works for me.
Okay. So was there anything else that you wanted to have happen?
Is Taylor's mom still in the kitchen?
She's, like, making her way back and forth And, like, she drops off, like, a batch of waffles and then goes off to, like, make some more. So, like, she's not new. Like, you all are in, like, sort of like a breakfast nook. So you all are set aside, but, like, in a place where you could see and hear the TV.
Well, I imagine that, like, Taylor probably has, like, a mouthful of waffle right now. Like, Eddie kind of just, he puts, like, his hand over Taylor's, and definitely not a just friendly gesture, more of a boyfriend-esque one, and he kind of smiles, says, I'll be all right. Don't worry about me.
Yeah, I think Taylor looks down at your all's hands and then up at you. And we get, like, a somewhat unsure smile. And then I want to cut to Stevie. Stevie, what is going on with you? How's your life been in the past 2 months?
Well, I don't know. Andy, what happened to my mom?
Your mom drove off as she was pursued by the police. This was, however, a very recently bought car that she was in, and only had a temporary license plate taped up in the back window. So when you arrive home, she tells you that she had Bob remove that license plate, and through some clever driving and taking a series of interconnected side streets, she was able to evade the police, and nobody knows of her involvement that night.
A newfound respect for my mom, for sure. She's the fucking coolest. I'm sure she probably wants to know everything that went down, so I probably told her not everything, but I told her, like, an abbreviated version of things that happened without mentioning murder or setting up somebody for murder or demons.
I mean, I'm gonna let's put it out there. He did commit a murder.
He did. You're absolutely correct. So we only set him up for one murder.
So do you let your mom know that you framed Corbin Breyer for the murder of Police Chief Williams?
No, I tell her that we were researching and we found out that he murdered Police Chief Williams.
Okay. Is there anything else that you hide from your mom, or were you upfront about everything that happened?
I mean, well, I definitely hide the demons. And, you know, anything that would be incriminating or make me look like a crazy person.
Okay.
Too terribly incriminating, I mean.
Willing to accept pod people.
It's because she's super cool.
So, Bob's leg has healed in the 2 months since the mine was shut down. The mine itself had suspended operations as investigations were underway, and the mining corporation was bought out from Breyer family ties by a board of directors that now owns and operates and reopened the mines. He returned to work. What is, like, you said Stevie has a newfound respect for her mom. What's your all's relationship like? Does it change at all? Does Stevie's life, do you think it changed in any major ways in the past 2 months?
She definitely gets a lot less bitchy about the fact that they live in Kentucky. I think she's like, okay, like, I have to, like, stop ragging to my mom about this. Obviously, she's pretty badass, and being in Kentucky is what she and Bob want, and I, like, you know, I care about them. I love them, so I'm gonna make the best of it and not be a constant brat about it. And she probably also stops bringing up her dad to her mom, But, you know, other than just being a lot less of a, like, kind of whiny brat about all the stuff that she's blaming her mom for and that she no longer is blaming her mom for, I think that probably she kind of also has gained a newfound confidence in herself, so she's running even more stupid little cons than she was.
As you are coming back home from one of those cons, and you walk in through your front door and call out to your mom that you're home, you hear her call from the other room, and she says, "Oh, Stephanie, there's a letter for you on the dining room table."
Okay. She's gonna go get the letter and read it.
As you pick up the envelope, you see that it is addressed from an address in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it is sent from your dad. And Pat, what's been going on with you over the past 2 months? How has your relationship with your mom changed? And what's happened? Have you made any life changes? What's going on?
I mean, so the fun thing about when someone, when, you know, the owner of the mine that you've been in litigation against for, you know, multiple years gets convicted or at least, like, put up for, you know, the murder of your father, then suddenly your case gets a whole lot better. So I think, you know, either via settlement or via, oh, this is going to be bad if, the second that Corbin, like, pursues the insanity defense, I think, like, the company just folds, in the litigation, with, you know, Pat's family. So, there's probably a hefty settlement, which Pat's mom can use to pay off their mortgage, and not have to work two jobs to pay for all the legal fees, because, yeah, that's how legal matters usually work, is that the losing party has to pay the legal fees. And that actually applies retroactively. So, hey, I don't, like, I think there's still a matter of tension, between Pat and her mother. Just because, like, the thing is that money doesn't change as much about their situation. Like, obviously her mom probably doesn't need to work as much anymore. So I think there's, like, they're having that sort of, like, quiet awkwardness around each other again, because they're now spending time together again. But, you know, they're still kind of where they are.
Yeah, like, your mom, she's been in your life, but she's been also kind of out of your life for quite a while now, just by, like, virtue of how much she's had to do and working two jobs and stuff. I imagine it's kind of like she almost doesn't know, like, how to treat you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that I think that makes a lot of sense, like, particularly, like, the change that that Pat has undergone in that intervening time. So I think they're kind of trying to get used to each other again. I don't think Pat, like, has honestly changed all that much perspective-wise. I don't think that she's turning back into the, like, overachieving straight-A student that she was. But I think she's allowing herself to try more.
That makes sense. And has Pat told her mom anything about what happened 2 months ago?
Fuck no.
That is fair. I think I want to end Pat's story for now with her, for whatever reason, entering into the bathroom or, like, washing her hands in the sink or something. Something that puts her in front of a mirror. And as she looks at herself and runs her hands over, like, the top part of her forehead, she feels two little bumps where horns used to be.
Fucking briars.
And our last scene. Fox, how has your life changed in the last 2 months?
After a couple of weeks of dealing with his guilt, I think that Fox really caught the bug for, like, monster hunting. Like, this clearly makes concrete that there are things in this world that we don't understand and that exist. He has spent a lot of the time just researching different monsters from nearby states that are purported to exist, recent sightings and attacks and stuff. And he's planning a trip for after he graduates to go around and start investigating these sort of things, I guess.
Question. Does he have, like, a board in his bedroom on the wall that's got, like, a map and, like...
Oh, absolutely.
Not a murder board, but, like, it looks like a murder board.
Yeah. With the red yarn, yeah.
Yeah, newspaper clippings and all that.
Absolutely.
I think as we see Fox looking at this board, our camera pans out of his bedroom window through his neighborhood, and we see a police car pull up in front of Fox's house, the driver door open, and a boot touchdown. As the camera pans up a little bit, the police car has the word sheriff emblazoned on the side, and that's where we'll come back next season in Poplar.
Poplar Kids uses the Kids on Bikes role-playing game system by Renegade Game Studios and is GM'd and edited by Andy State. You can find him on Twitter at AndyLion92. Stevie is played by Casey. You can find them on Twitter at ChildofGenevra. Fox is played by Thomas. You can find him on Twitter at DorksideVO. Eddie is played by Nick. You can find him on Twitter at ChainsawWombat. Pat is played by Evan. You can find them on Twitter at NamesEquipped. We can be found on Twitter at PoplarKidsPod, or you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/poplarkids. Be sure to tell your friends to come and visit us, and we'll see y'all next time in Poplar, Kentucky.
Quick question, are you all just standing around in the mines as you're having this conversation?
I kind of want to probably imagine... Sorry, go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
This wasn't a load-bearing portal, so we're fine.
I was going to say that I wanted to imagine that we're, like, dragging an unconscious Corbin Breyer out of the mines while we're having this conversation.
I imagine this as our Quentin Tarantino walk and talk.
Yeah.
We're all carrying an arm or a leg.
Oh, Eddie's not carrying his own bed. He's probably just limping behind y'all.